You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
You know, it's an honor to be here in this church. I feel like home, so it's okay with you. I'm just going to preach as if I was at home and share my heart with you, share the word with you, and believe for God to put all the pieces together. You know, we look at life sometimes as a strange puzzle piece. We don't understand how it fits into the picture of what God is doing. But when God sees our life, it's a beautiful mural and it's all put together. So don't be discouraged if you feel awkward and you feel like, well, how do I fit? And where does my piece fit in the puzzle? It's okay if you don't know how it fits. God knows. God knows how you craft into his plan and his purpose. And you don't have to understand it all. You just need to be connected to the one who knows it all. And so be encouraged tonight, even before we look at the word, even before we have a time of impartation and worship at the end of our service today, be encouraged that your piece is significant and valuable. That God sees the spans of the earth and he knows the end from the beginning, and he didn't create an accident when he created you. And he didn't make a mistake when he called you. In fact, he called you way before you understood that he called you. So just align your thoughts and get in faith and agreement with what God already says about you, and life will go much better. You will understand that you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know 15 steps to success. You just need to know what the next step is that God is calling you to do. As I read my Bible, and yours probably says the same things, it says that his word, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And last time I checked, my feet are right below me. They're not 15 steps in front of me. So all I need to be encouraged with is that every step that I take, God's going to be there with me. He's going to encourage me. And there might be some young people here tonight, and you've been concerned about the 15 years in your future that you're not sure of. And you know what? Don't worry about the 15 years ahead of you and what it's all going to look like. Worry about the season you're in right now. So how am I going to figure this out? Where am I going to go? It's okay. God knows. You stay close to him, and he's going to get you to that place. If you know the people to connect with, then you're going to make it to the right place. And God is the one to stay connected with. Why do I share that with you? Because some of you have even come to this service tonight and you have questions in your mind about, well, should I be connected to this church and what's going on and what's in it for me? I'll tell you what's in it for you. What's in it for you is being connected to people who are going after God, who are influencing your life and will help you get to the place that you can't get to by yourself. And environment is so important to the key success in your life. The Bible says, as a man or woman thinks within themselves, so are they. But what we often don't ask ourselves is not just about how we think, but we need to ask ourselves, what affects the way that I think? It's a promise, as a man or woman thinks within themselves, so are they. And we can try to navigate our thoughts, but it's much better to evaluate what is affecting my thoughts. And environment is the key thing that affects our thoughts on a regular basis. Psalms chapter 1 says that blessed is the man or woman who stands not in the seat of the scornful, sits not in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law he meditates day and night, that he shall be like a tree planted by, listen, rivers of living water. What's the key ingredient to the success of the person? The key ingredient is where they're positioned, the environment that they're next to. They're next to the river, so their life doesn't wither. They end up in the right place. And I want to encourage you, why it's so important for you to be here tonight and to continue in this family of faith is because the environment is forming the way that you think, and the way that you think will determine the outcomes of your life. I don't know. Do you believe that? I'm not even preaching yet. I'm just trying to get you stirred up. Trying to build your faith on the inside, because this is what I know, that if faith can rise up on the inside, then it will be seen on the outside. We live in the place and in the time when God is just looking for people to believe. And this is a place that exemplifies faith on a regular basis. Did you know that you have some of the best pastors in all the world? Can we honor your pastors tonight, Pastors Glenn and Sophia? Come on, honor your pastors tonight. We love you guys. You could have got stuck with some boring, terrible, unfaithful people, but you got stuck with some good people. This is a safe place to be. These are leaders of integrity, leaders that pray for you, believe in them. They're giving their lives for you. They're not here for themselves. And that's what I love about this place. You know, I was talking to my wife earlier just about some of the things that God is doing in this place. And my wife, Sarah, is with me tonight. She's the best preacher that I know. She's sitting right here on the front row. Give it up for my wife, Sarah. I was actually her number one volunteer when she was pastoring in our junior high service. I was in college. I was 18 at the time. The pastor's daughter was leading the junior high. She was very beautiful. I had known her for many years. And I thought, how can I get close to this beautiful woman? I'll go volunteer in the youth ministry. She was leading, and I was her number one volunteer. I would line up the envelopes. I would straighten those chairs. I would take care of the disciplinary problems of all the knucklehead boys that were in the room. And you know what? I did that for quite a while, and I guess it worked because several years later, she married me. So despise not the day of small beginnings. But I want to share a couple things that are on my heart with you tonight. I'm going to navigate through a few different passages of Scripture, but with a few simple thoughts. Is it right if I just share a few simple thoughts with you? Why do I say there are a few simple thoughts? Because this is what I believe. Most of you in this room tonight don't need the next new revelation to transform your life. What you need is to apply the timeless revelations that God has already spoken to you and just put them into action in your life, and it'll produce fantastic results. So I may not prophesy individually over your life and give you the next new great revelation of where you're supposed to go and how you're supposed to do this, that, or the other, but I'm going to connect you to Him, and the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And what I've found is that a word that the Holy Spirit can deliver to us in a moment is greater than anything that we can gain in our entire lifetime. He can speak to us in a moment something I couldn't get in my own intellect through my entire life. The Bible shares a story in Acts chapter 18, and it's a story of the Apostle Paul as he has left the city of Athens and now arrived at the city of Corinth. And listen to what the Scripture says. And now the Lord spoke to Paul at night in a vision, and he said, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. No one will attack or hurt you, for I have many people in the city for you." In verse 11, there's a powerful statement, and it says, "And so he continued there." Tonight, I want to share two simple words with you, and the words are continue and cooperate. Have you ever been at a place in life where it was difficult to continue? Maybe difficult to continue in your praying, continuing in your giving, continuing in your serving, continuing in the dream or the vision that God has for your life. Maybe you have shown up day after day and you're wondering if God even cares. There are many seasons and times in life where it's difficult to continue. In this particular story with the Apostle Paul, which we don't many times look at and reference as someone who is going through a bad day or a bad season, but he has just left the place that he felt God had called him to go to, which was the city of Athens. Now, Pastor Glenn and I and my wife, we were just with some leaders just yesterday and the day before in the city of Athens. We walked in some of the exact places where Paul was, and now we see some of the memorials that are there, and we know some of the history, but what we forget about Paul's assignment in Athens is in that time and season, it was actually a failure. The history and the Bible tells us that he got ran out of town, called a fool and a babbler. That's not very good, successful church planting. And now he has walked by himself on a long journey, 53 miles from the city of Athens to now the city of Corinth. And some would say that he was probably at a crossroads, wondering, because he'd been now ridiculed and jailed at Thessalonica and Berea. He's gone through a lot of different difficult situations in Philippi, and so he has a history of encountering bad days. Just look at your neighbor and say, "I think you're going to be all right." You probably haven't been jailed and shipwrecked and beaten and left for dead and all the things that he went through. And yet, in this particular situation, We know it's a pretty bad day when the Lord has to come and speak to you at night in a vision in order for you to continue. So this idea that he had everything figured out is probably the wrong idea. He was human just like you and I. He had an encounter on that road of Damascus. Now he's a missionary, a church planter. He's following God. He's doing what God had called him to do. And then the Lord comes and speaks to him at night in a vision. And the Bible says, and so he continued there. So he was at this crossroads of faith and crossroads of keeping on in what God had called him to do. And really the story is not just about geographically keeping on. It's a story of faith, about keeping on and believing what God has said and the promises that God has given us, that even when you don't see it sometimes and you've gone through difficulty sometimes and you have question or doubt in your life, continuing even in the midst of that. And the Bible says, so he continued there. Now we know the rest of the story. We know that because he continued, a church was started in that place. And because a church was started, then later on in his life when he was jailed and he had free time and he began writing letters back to some of those churches, one of those churches was the church in Corinth. And isn't it interesting that we now have two books in our Bible of the letters written to the church of Corinth? We see them and we understand it helps us in our life of faith. It helps us understand the love of God. It helps us understand the spiritual gifts. It helps us understand how God works. But we would have none of that instruction had Paul not continued. So I wonder today, what's on the other side of you continuing? What churches are waiting to be planted? What cities are waiting to be reached? What people are crying out today? They're waiting for some of you to just continue in what God has called you to do. Some of you have been at a place where you've had dreams and visions, even young people, and then after you didn't see it in 15 minutes, you're giving up on the plan. Why are you giving up? Did God make a mistake when he spoke to you? I've seen God speak things to me. How old am I now? 23 years ago, I remember this. 23 years ago, I had a vision, something God was calling me to do, and I thought, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. 2 years went by. It's going to happen. 3 years went by. It's going to happen. 8 years went by. I guess it's not going to happen. 10 years went by. Surely it's not going to happen. And then somewhere after that time when I actually just forgot about it, just pressing on, doing what God had called me to do, trying to follow what the Holy Spirit was doing. You see, God wants us to stay close to him, not just the things that he calls us to do. Because when you stay close to him, he knows how to navigate your path. And one day, honestly, I found myself in a situation. I'm just following God, just serving him, going wherever he calls me to go, open up, you know, the doors that he opens, and I'm walking through those doors. And one day I found myself on a stage, and then I heard the Holy Spirit say, remember what I said so many years ago? And I looked around, and I was standing right in the middle of what God had said. But what if we just stop in the process? Oh, I didn't see it. Friends, the things that God gives you, that he's called you to do, understand this, he's more concerned about those things coming to pass than you are. He's the one that gave it to you. Why are you so concerned about how to complete God's plan in your life? Why don't you be more focused on who God is, the promises that he gave you, and watch him work in your life? And the Bible says, and so he continued there. Now, how many of you growing up, you used to be in track or cross country or some sort of running? Let me see your hands. All right, maybe three or four of you. Well, you might not be able to tell by looking at me, but I used to run. There's an emphasis on that phrase, I used to. And this morning, for the sake of this sermon, I did run a mile in the hotel on the treadmill. But I used to run, and I used to run long distance races. I used to run medium distance races, and if you're not familiar with running, let me just ask it this way. How many of you have ever seen the Olympics? I'm not asking or saying that England wins the Olympics. I'm just asking. Just kidding. You win something. I just don't know which those sports are. There's sports that I'm not familiar with. Things like cricket and rugby, fishing. Oh, okay, yeah. Just kidding. So in running, there's a phenomenon that happens when you're running in a race. I remember I was probably 16 or 17. I was running in this 3-mile race. It was on this outdoor track that was running through this obstacle course. And so I'm running on this track and in this race, and there's a particular section of the race where we would run by where the fans and the coaches were. And in this particular race, I started out really fast. I was feeling pretty good. And about halfway through the race, something started to happen, and I started to get pain. Pain to my side, my other side, my legs started to cramp up. And here I was, strong young man, and I started to cry. It was so painful. I was hurting so bad. Thankfully, I was running by the section where the fans were and the coaches were, and I thought, this is my moment. They're going to be compassionate. Coach is going to understand. And so I'm jogging like this. I'm looking over at the coach. I said, "Coach, I've got to stop. It hurts." Now, I'm not ever suggesting you do that, but the coaches replied to me, and he said this. He said, "Son, keep going." And then I said this statement that I will never suggest you make, and I looked at the coach, and I said this. I said, "Coach, you don't understand." Did you know there's a reason that he's a coach? Because he used to be a player. He understands. In fact, he has the t-shirt to prove it. He's the coach for a reason. And he looked at me. He didn't even think. He had no compassion at all. And he looked back at me and he said, "Son, I know exactly what you're going through, but you can't quit in this race. You keep running." And then he said this statement, and this is the word for you tonight. He said, "You keep running because you're about to get your second wind." Now, I didn't know or had never experienced exactly what he was talking about, but he was so clear, direct, and forceful, I had no other option. I just kept running, and then all of a sudden, a few moments later, the pain on this side started to leave, and the pain on this side, the pain in this leg, and the pain in this leg. And science now tells us that what happens when you're running is your body tries to shut down, but your mind actually can convince your body to go further, and your body then redistributes the energy as if you're running at the beginning of the race, and you get what they call a second wind. It's renewed energy, reinvigorated strength in the middle of the race. Though you have used some energy, there is stored energy in other places of your body that your body is just waiting to distribute to the rest of your limbs if you keep going. And in that moment, I got a surge of energy and strength, and I was experiencing a second wind. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight that you're about to get your second wind. That you have a coach in heaven that came down to this earth, that he experienced what you were experiencing. He went through what you are going through, and he not only went through it, but he was victorious over it. So now he's in heaven, and the Bible says he is interceding at the right hand of the Father for you and I. And I've often wondered, what is he interceding for? And I believe he's interceding that you will continue in the race, that you will keep going, that you will not give up, because he wants to give you a second wind. So here's what I want to ask you tonight on this simple word of continuing. What is it in your life that you need to continue in that God has called you to do? What have you almost given up on? What have you almost cast your chips in and just left the table and said, it's not working anymore? That serving is not working anymore. That giving, that believing stuff, that confession stuff, I don't see the results. What might be God asking you to continue in? You don't have to be 65 years old to be ready to give up. It could be 65 minutes into the journey that God has you on, and you're ready to quit. You're ready to stop. But friends, I want to tell you, you're about to get your second wind. And the second wind comes and actually helps you to finish the race. That race that I was running in, not only did I not quit, but I finished so that our team could finish in first place. And I often wonder, as that little example, what if I would have stopped and quit? Well, what if I would have gave up? And then I realized my coach was counting on me. My teammates were counting on me. The fans were counting on me. The school was counting on me. My family was counting on me. You see, often we don't realize that our race isn't just about ourselves. In fact, most of our race is about others. So who's on the other side of your continuing? For Paul, it was the city of Corinth, but it was bigger than that. It wasn't actually just about the city of Corinth. It was about some people in Manchester that would read or hear scriptures and references to the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. It was actually more strategic than it was natural, because the Holy Spirit was thinking about you. He was thinking about your family, and he was thinking about your future. He was thinking about your dreams, and he was thinking about the calling upon your life. So my suggestion and plea for you tonight is to continue in that faith journey that God has you on. Continue your believing. Continue your giving. Continue in your serving. Continue in your expectation, even though you've tried and it didn't work. You've tried and it didn't work. You've tried and it didn't work. You tried and it didn't work. You tried and it didn't work. And here's what often happens, and I'll just have to use this as an illustration. What often happens is there's a separation between somebody speaking words of faith and us receiving the faith that God has for us. And we think it's different when we sit in a chair, because we say this to ourselves so many times, and I'm sure you've not said this, but I've said this when I've been in services like this. I've sat in a chair, and I've heard a preacher, and I've said, okay, that's wonderful, preacher, and I wouldn't say this with my voice, but I would think it with my mind. That's wonderful for you up there on the stage with a microphone, but you don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the situation in my life. And so we can often sit in a chair and we can create a divide between what God wants us to hear and what God wants to do in our lives. And we can excuse it away as our situation is isolated and nobody else knows our situation. I'm not saying you're that way, but I've been that way. And here's my encouragement for you tonight. I may not know. Probably not. Your pastor may not know. But God knows. God knows what you've been through. God knows the times you're giving, you're sowing, you're stretching, and then it's like, ah, still haven't seen it. Don't give up. What if just around the corner is the thing that you've been waiting for? What if just that next step? What if the miracle, the breakthrough, the person is on the other side of you continuing? Here's why it's so important to continue. Because there's always someone waiting on the other side. There's always someone waiting on the other side. In fact, when the Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture, it's so monumental to his ministry, and the Lord spoke to him, and he said, I'm with you. Hello? He didn't stop there. He said, no one will attack or hurt you. So he was speaking to his presence. He was speaking to the fact that God was going to be with him, that he wasn't doing it by himself. It's actually the promise that Jesus gave in Matthew 28 and verse 20 when Jesus had gone to all the world. And then he said, and lo, I am with you always. Have you ever wondered, how did Jesus make that promise when he knew he was about to leave? It's like me saying, okay, I'm going to pay for it. Bye. Are you going to pay for it or not? Well, he understood he had to go so someone else could come. He was one man in one place at one time, but he knew the Holy Spirit was going to come and he could be in every place at the same time with all people. So he wasn't giving them a promise that he couldn't make good on. He was actually giving them a promise, and then he was part of the fulfillment of that promise when he went, because as he ascended, someone else could descend. And that's the Holy Spirit. So he made good on his promise when he said, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He's with us. He makes good on that promise. So he has the promise that he's going to be with us, his presence. He was reminding Paul, look, I'm with you. You're on this journey. It's not by yourself. Sure, you have difficulty in your surroundings, but keep going. I'm with you. And he said, no one will attack or hurt you. He was speaking to the element of fear that can so often creep up in the faith journey of our lives that would keep us from the next thing that God has called us to do. And he was saying, look, you're protected. It's all taken care of. No one's going to attack or hurt you. He didn't want him to be led by fear. He wanted to instill faith into his life. And then he gave him purpose. He gave him the mandate and the understanding. And the third thing that he tells him in this passage of Scripture, and you probably just overlooked it as I read it, but he said, look, I'm with you. No one's going to attack or hurt you. And then he says, for there are people in the city for you. There are people waiting for you. He was laying purpose out before him, saying, there's a person there. There's a person there. There's a person waiting for you. I'm with you. I'm protecting you. But really, it's about the people that are on the other side. Friends, there's always someone on the other side of your continuing. The life of faith, the last time I checked, we exchanged our life for his. So when I was bought with a price and I exchanged my life for his, I took on his mission and his journey, his vision and his purpose. And his purpose always involves people. So what is it tonight that you need to continue in? Second word that I have for you tonight is cooperate. So how do you continue? You continue by cooperating. So what? He spoke those things to Paul, but he still had a choice. He didn't force him, and God will not force you. Think of it this way. The God that can do anything can still not do one thing, and that is force you to follow him. He won't force you to follow him. He won't force you to serve. He won't force you to continue, but he'll give you vision. He'll speak to you. He'll encourage you. He'll give you the tools, and he'll give you promises, but you still have to make a decision. I'm going to cooperate with what he says. There's an element of cooperation that the Holy Spirit connects with in our journeys. When the Bible says in the book of John that the Holy Spirit came, and that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit coming, and he said, he will show you things to come. Why would he show us things to come? So that then we could have a decision to cooperate with what he shows. And then Paul made the decision, and so he continued there. Friends, there's an element of the cooperation with the Holy Spirit that we must have to see God move in our lives. A cooperation. The Apostle Paul, later on in the book of 2 Corinthians, he talked about the fellowship as he wrote back to this church in Corinth that was started after he then left. He said, I pray that you would have fellowship or cooperation with the Holy Spirit. A koinonia, the same fellowship that believers and people would have in the natural. Paul, through the words of the Holy Spirit, here prayed, I pray that you would have a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Now that's what we need in our lives. But here's the reality of that. Cooperation with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't always make sense. This is a key phrase. It always makes a difference. It may not make sense, but it always makes a difference. And so he continued there. It didn't make sense. I got ran out of the last town. I'm a fool and a babbler. I left the town of idolatry of Athens. Now I'm about to face the city of immorality in Corinth. Modern day, Los Angeles to Las Vegas. It doesn't look very good. But yet there was a cooperation. And as he cooperated, it made a difference. It didn't make sense, but it made a difference. There's some of you here tonight, and God has called you to step out and called you to reach out and called you to give or called you to connect or called you to serve. And in your mind, you're saying this very thing. That doesn't make any sense. But friends, it doesn't have to make sense, but it will make a difference. It will make a difference. Half of you believe that, so let me prove it to the other half. About 13 years ago, I was riding in a bus in a foreign city that I was not very familiar with. I had just left the country of Cambodia, flew on an airplane. I was transiting in the city of Hong Kong. I'm looking out a window, riding in a bus. I didn't know anybody in the town. As I look out the window in the bus, I hear the Holy Spirit speak this phrase to me, and he said this, would you be willing for the next season of your life to move to this part of the world and to help people in these countries? Now, that was as foreign can be. I don't speak Chinese. I'm not Chinese. I had never been in that place before. And immediately when I heard that word, would you be willing for the next season of your life to move to this part of the world and help people in these countries? Immediately when I heard it, I knew it was the Lord, but I blamed the devil. We do that. Why do we do that? It's like, I bind you, devil. As if he's calling us to move to a foreign part of the world and tell people about Jesus. So in that moment, I just threw the gauntlet out there to the Lord as if he needed it, but it was probably for me. I said, okay, Lord, I'll be willing, but you got to speak to my wife. I figured she wasn't on this trip. She had never been to this part of the country. That would be the end of the conversation with the Lord. The Holy Spirit had surely made a mistake in that moment. So I just surrendered it to the Lord. I never said anything to my wife. 2 weeks later, we're in church service. My wife's on the front row as we're in service. During worship, she begins to cry. I'm next to her. I'm trying to figure out what is going on. Why is she crying? You know. And then after service, I asked her, I said, what was God speaking to you? Be careful when you ask that question. And she looked at me and she said, I'm not sure if it was really God. Maybe it was the devil. And then she said this, I think God was asking me if I'd be willing for the next season of my life to move to another part of the world to help people, but I don't know where to go. And I think that's just a crazy idea, but I'm telling you because you asked, but I don't really know if it was God. 2 weeks after I heard that same thing, and then I began to cry. I began to cry because I knew that was what the Lord was saying. And so we just agreed there on the edge of the bed. We didn't know how. We didn't know with who. We didn't have the money. We didn't have any of those things. Didn't know anybody in the whole place. But we came into agreement, and we knew it was what the Lord was leading us in. And about 16 months from that moment, we were on an airplane, had landed in a new city. We had moved with our two children, a 14-month-old and a 3.5-year-old, in a place we didn't know anybody, in a culture that we weren't very familiar with, and it didn't make any sense. But I look at my life today, and so many things that I do today are a direct result of a bus ride in a foreign city when I didn't ask for it. I wasn't looking for it. But the Holy Spirit was speaking. It didn't make any sense. But today, when I walk into cities or I go into new churches or I meet with new leaders, it's like I walk in and the Holy Spirit says, I was working. I was strategizing. I was navigating your course. When you didn't see it, I saw it. And it didn't make any sense to you, but it's making a difference in the kingdom. And I was reminded of something this afternoon as I was talking to Pastor Glenn. We're having lunch. And I thought about that bus ride. Because after that bus ride and we ended up in that place, we met a pastor who just started a church. His name was Wayne. He's been here. He had a friend named Paul. He had a friend named Neil. They had another friend named Glenn. Glenn pastored a church in UK. Never heard about it. A church called Audacious. And I was reminded today at lunch as we were sitting there, the Holy Spirit reminded me, he said, remember the bus ride? It's 13 years ago. But this is what hit me. You thought, I was asking the Lord, and the Lord said, you thought it was for you. But then he said this to me, it was actually for you. That he was strategizing in a bus so that a person could meet another guy, and another guy, and another guy. And then eventually, 13 years later, we would end up in a place, and we would be in a church. And the whole time, it wasn't just for me to experience a new culture and a new place. It was because God wants you to be encouraged for your life. That he's the master strategist. That he knows the end from the beginning. That whatever you're going through, whatever you've been in the middle of, God sees it. He knows ahead. He's made provision. And it's through your cooperation with the Holy Spirit that you see the end result. And the end result is the plan of God, the purpose of God, the people of God. It's the presence of God on your life. But it's a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And this is not fun and games. It's actually life or death. That there's a cooperation that we can have with the Holy Spirit that will make all the difference in somebody's life and somebody's eternity. It's not about us. I'm not here for me. God sent me for you. And your life is not just about you. It's connected to the people that God has called you to reach. So I'm in a car about 10 years ago. Left a village in Cambodia. And I'm leaving a conference. And I thought that was my assignment. And I'm on a road and I see a scurry of people on the road and they're screaming and they're going wild. It's like there's an accident, but I don't know what it is. And I asked the guy with me, I said, we got to stop and figure out what's going on. He said, Pastor, we can't stop. I said, stop the car. We got out, we walked over to this people going wild, and we found out there was a young girl about 13 years old. She was riding her bike on the main road, and behind her, this big semi-truck came, hit her on her bicycle, hit her head, knocked her off to the side. She was bleeding out of her face. She's not breathing. She's now been laying there for several minutes, dead, on the side of the road. The people don't know what to do. I said to the pastor, we got to do something for this girl. The pastor looks at me and says, we can't be here. We got to go. There's nothing we can do. I said, yes, there's something we can do. So we stopped in that moment. I thought my assignment was to teach the pastors in a church about leadership and about missions and all these strategic things. And now I find myself on the side of the road with a girl who's been hit by a truck, who's bleeding and lifeless, laying on the side of the road. And the Holy Spirit said, this is why you're here. So we got down. Begin to pray. What do you say? What do you do? We just called on Him. It's Jesus. Pray for a miracle. Pray that you would touch this girl. I don't know the words that I said, but we just said simple words in faith. And in the moment, I didn't see anything. The pastor said, okay, you've prayed. Now let's go. So I stood up and I started to walk. I got a couple feet. And then life came into the girl. She sat up. She opened her eyes. The girl who was not breathing, the girl who was bleeding out of the side of her head, the girl who was lifeless, in a moment, life came into her body. That girl's alive today. She's alive today. And I felt the Lord say this to me, that when you cooperate with me, I'll empower you for every emergency. That when you're following me, you don't have to know what's ahead, but cooperate with what I want to do. Stand to your feet all over this place. Here's why I share that story with you. You may not encounter those people in the natural. You may not see that girl who's dead and lifeless, but here's the reality. We're in a world where there are lifeless people. We're in a world where there are hurting people. We're in a place where there are broken people. And I would ask you, would you be willing to cooperate with Him so that you can be used by God to reach them? Be used by God to reach those that are broken, those that are lame, those that are hurting, those that spiritually are dry or dead, have never heard about Him. The same God that breathed life back into that girl's body wants to breathe life into people's lives and vision into their eyes and hope into their spirits. And here's the reality. God wants to use you. They may be young people. You may be eating chicken nuggets and hanging out at your house. But there's a generation of young people. A generation of young people. They need resurrected on the inside. They need restored in their spirits. And God's going to use you. As you cooperate with Him, friends, it won't always make sense. But know this, it always makes a difference.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.